Good morning, South Fayette family. I'm in a great mood this morning, and many of you know why. I'm still riding the wave. I think that's all I need to say. My smile says the rest. Let me say to everyone here this morning, I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. David said it in Psalms 122 and verse 1. Let us go into the house of the Lord, and when we do so, let us be glad. I'm grateful for all of your presence here this morning. And for those of you who are visiting, let me say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we're glad that you are here. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us continue to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us is to continue to show the love of Christ to every man, woman, and child. Let us continue to have a zeal and a desire for God's word, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we go into 2022, let us have a mind to work. Do everything that is necessary for the expansion of God's kingdom. And let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we strive on this time side of life to become better men and women of God. I hope everyone here has that same attitude that David did, because every Lord's Day is special. And we should rejoice at the privilege and the time that we have been given to gather together as the body of Christ. Now, a few months ago, I preached a three-part series on elders, who they are, the role that they play in the body of Christ, and the qualifications and the church role as it relates to the elders. Here at South Fayette, I want you to know that we are truly blessed to have two wonderful men that shepherd this flock. And we ought to be thankful for men like that, that desire and are qualified to serve. Amen? But qualified leadership cannot just be had by wishful thinking alone. As a matter of fact, it's something that must be desired, planned for, worked at, and encouraged. Men must be willing to be trained, educated, and given to the task, that time that they have to be dedicated to. So after spending some time teaching on elders and the qualification of elders, I think it would only be equally beneficial for us to spend a little time on the role of deacons in the body of Christ. Now, this will be a two-part lesson on deacons. We will touch on the role in the church, and next week we will really get into the specific qualifications in God's word that are needed to fulfill this office. Now, I need for us to understand that deacons are necessary. Not only are they necessary, they are indispensable. And not only are they indispensable, they are a blessing in every congregation where they serve well. And there is no greater service to be given, no greater cost to be committed to, and no greater example to follow than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why is qualified leadership so important? You have to ask yourself this. The answer is because unqualified leadership can lead us away from God. Every congregation can have qualified leadership in its congregation, really, if it sees the need. Secondly, if the value of godly qualified leadership is at the top of the list, and people and the men see righteousness as God's arrangement. We also need to understand that the future of any congregation will depend on the great degree on its leadership, right? the kind that encourages, the kind that are willing to follow, the kind that are willing to appoint, the kind that are willing to serve. Now, if Jesus could take a rough, unpolished type of man in the first century and make him a great leader, he could take a group of men individually from different walks of life with different traits and make them leaders, then why can't we do that today? He can, and when men are willing to yield themselves to the master teacher, then servants can be produced. But here's the great question. The great question is, do we have men who are willing to yield themselves and reach out to the greatest of all challenges? Deacons who serve well with the right spirit should have the cooperation of the congregation in the area of service. And an excellent and needed challenge of deacons is to hopefully involve every member of the church and help them to carry out the overall work of the church. Now, I need for us to understand, if you haven't paid attention, despite the pandemic, despite, you know, the weather, despite the holidays, we here at South Fayette are growing. And we need to have a growing mindset. I'll say that again. Sometimes people grow, but they don't continue to grow because they don't have a growing mindset. So for us to continue to grow, we need to have a growing mindset. We need to be zealous in the service of the Lord. Little effort yields little results. I'll say that again. Little effort yields little results. So if we put in great effort, then it will yield great results. And we want to be the kind of church that is pleasing to God. Men and women who are willing to work and serve the Lord are badly needed in the church today. At times, these jobs will require some sacrifice. Yes. They will be an inconvenience at time. Yes. It will bring about a little bit of hardship. Yes. Usually only the highly motivated persons will be willing to serve in these type of situations. If you don't have a zeal for God's word, if you don't have a desire to do his will, if you don't have a desire and a mind to work for the benefit of his kingdom, then how can we be a church pleasing to God? God has called us to serve in his kingdom. He has. And let us be willing not only to serve, okay, but do the very best that we can. Over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, the infallible word of God says, his Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So what then is a deacon? What then is a deacon? A deacon is a willing, biblical, qualified servant, one who is willing to take on tasks assigned to them by the elders. Now, when you think about it, the Greek word is diakonos, which means waiter or attendant or servant. This word is generally used, and it carries the idea of one who serves or ministers to others. Deacons serve the congregation as special servants who are appointed to oversee special responsibilities in the congregation. And I want you to hold that in your mind as I go through this. Special, okay? It's not an office in which it's not special, or it's not that great, or it ain't as glamorous as the preacher or the elder. Deacons are special. The King James Version uses at least 9 different words to translate this Greek word. 5 times to administer, 47 times to minister, 16 times ministry, 11 times serve, 2 service, 7 servant, 1 office, and 1 relief. Deacons are special and are needed. When diakonos is used with, it's used with a reference to a special group of qualified men. It is not translated, but it's transliterated. That is, it is still the Greek word carried over into the English letters and changed slightly to appear to be an English word. You have diakonos or deacon. It is very clear from certain passages that deacons were people who had distinguished themselves in this capacity by their excellence and were utilized by the churches to certain designations of areas of responsibility. So let's begin. Why are deacons important for the local church? It is a God-appointed office in the church. And for the local church to be spiritually organized, vital responsibilities needed to be performed so that the local church and its functions will do so in a manner that's pleasing to God in the way that he would have it. So there is a need in every local church for men that are humble, men that are committed, and men that are qualified to serve as deacons. When deacons serve the congregation and support the elders, they protect the unity of the church, something Jesus viewed as precious as he prays to the Father in John chapter 17. Now, we might be tempted to think that being a deacon isn't important, but Scripture disagrees. Competent, qualified deacons are essential to the health of the local church. Now, one reason those first deacons were so important is because they prevented the Jerusalem church from fracturing. And what was the net result of that was deacons were fulfilling their responsibility. So over in Acts chapter 6, looking at verse 7, that's Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The infallible word of God reads, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Because those deacons serve the physical needs of the body, the unity of the church was preserved. The apostles continued to preach the word, and the Great Commission advanced. So when the body is working in unison, the church grows numerically and spiritually. So blood flow, if you did not know, is vital to every part of the human body. When an area of body is derived of blood, what happens? It dies, or it could be cut off. So we need all parts working together to have a vibrant and functioning body of Christ. So next, let's look at this, the work of the deacons. The work of the deacons. Since you are already in Acts chapter 6, go back to these verses 1 through 4. And the infallible word reads, now in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, the work of the deacon, saints, is to serve the elders and the local church. That means take care of the earthly matters of the church so the elders can give their full attention to the efforts of spiritual matters of the church. Now, just as the apostles delegated administrative responsibility to the seven, so the elders are to delegate the responsibility to the deacons so the elders can focus their efforts spiritually elsewhere. Deacons are given a more service-oriented function. What does that mean? So, for example, they might have responsibility over areas such as benevolence, right? Facilities, finance, and other matters related to practical logistics of running a church. Simply put, after all those big words, they serve. Over in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considering rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great and the great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Jesus is simply telling us, if you want to be great, if you want to be first, you must be a servant to all. Now, we all also have deacons used in an official sense that only qualified men can be. So, in fact, when we study in the New Testament, you only find two offices or positions that require certain qualifications, one being elder, the other deacons. And the only qualifications that can be found about deacons are located in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And the only other time deacons are mentioned specifically is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Scripture spends significantly more time describing what a deacon must be rather than what a deacon must do. That's because God cares more about our character than our abilities. I'll say that again. God cares more about our character than our abilities, because you have men who like to say, "Well, I'm not good in that," or "I don't know if I'm able to do that." Well, that's a lot, and I have this going on. I'm not sure I can carry that out. God doesn't care about your abilities. He cares about your character. Now, while every church member should be serving in the church, not everyone can serve as a deacon. The office of deacon, like the office of elder, is reserved only for those who meet certain character qualifications. So let's quickly look at some of those areas of character qualifications for deacons. The first one, which is a big one, is attitude, right? The proper attitude is needed for all Christians. Let's not get that wrong, but in particular, a position of leadership. So listen, a deacon needs to be sincere. A deacon needs to be honest and motivated. And he needs to be motivated by the truth. No other thing, just the truth. He needs to be humble and willing to be a servant, constantly keeping his pride in check. And he needs to be unselfish. He needs to be concerned for others and not self-centered. Now, we have a lot of people whose attitudes aren't right as Christians, furthermore, to be deacons. But I'm telling you that God is looking for men who are qualified and who have a zeal and a desire to serve in his kingdom. And it starts with your attitude. Next, you need to have a relationship with God. You need to have a relationship with God, right? His relationship with you must be right, and it also has to be strong. Also, you must show full confidence and trust and reliance on God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Listen, Christianity is not something you do every now and then. It's a way of life. And you are already putting that into practice, whether you are a deacon or not. See, he must be convinced that what he is doing must be done right, and what he's doing right must be done to please God. See, I think a lot of times we get caught up in wanting to please man. And we forget about our responsibilities to God. When I talk to men, they can give me a whole list of responsibilities that they got going on. And God is not at the top of the list. He needs to continue to study and grow and mature in his relationship. He must be convinced that he believes that God's work should be done through and will be accomplished through good things. Everyone knows who he places first in his life. If you're going to be a deacon, if you desire to be a deacon, if you desire to have any influence when it comes to God's kingdom, people got to know that God is first in your life. And these are all encompassing characteristics. And next, another area of qualification, you have to have an unimpeachable moral character. That's important. He is highly regarded in and out of church. You have to be that type of man, not just at church, but at work, on your job, the people in the neighborhood who know you. He has a good reputation among men. His home life is very desirable. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. He is blameless in the sense that he strives to make things right. He strives for that. It's not something, okay, well, I'm made to do it. I strive for that, to make things right with God and also with my fellow man, so that man cannot find fault with him. And the last of these lead characters into developing this. Leadership abilities, right? It's important that he shows maturity in his life, in his words, in his judgment. One needs to be zealous and a hard worker. He needs to be able to exercise self-control and is discreet when he's dealing with the matters of others. He has to have the ability to organize. He has to have the ability to coordinate. He has to have the ability to direct, guide activities and people in the right way. He sees things in a manner in which he can envision a plan and a dream. He looks down the road through the word of God and foresees what can be done to help another person grow closer to God. What can I do in my acts of service to show people the love of God? These things are so, so, so important. When you think about it by the world standards of being a deacon, it may seem boring, right? It may seem unattractive, but according to Scripture, there are great rewards for faithfully fulfilling this office. I'll say that again. There are great rewards for fulfilling this office. So if you know a deacon, let me encourage you to go out of your way to thank him, to encourage him, because he is a servant in God's kingdom. He is one that helps the things function in a manner in which they do. So we ought to thank our deacons. We ought to be grateful for the deacons that we got. But let me tell you something. From me to you, here at South Fed, we need more. Amen. We need more. Y'all getting quiet, but we need more. Finally, I want to make a plea to everyone this morning to serve in the body of Christ, period. That's man and woman. If you're not qualified to be a deacon, you can serve in some type of capacity to help function and help the blood continue to flow and pump through this congregation. And those of you who do qualify, why aren't you stepping up to the plate? Why aren't you saying, I'm willing to serve in my God's kingdom? I'm willing to put myself out there for the service of my people, my brothers and sisters, in order to advance God's kingdom so the spiritual matters can be done and all the other things that people worry about, we won't even know. We won't miss a beat. We all have talents and we all have gifts. God-given gifts. But the sad thing is, we take those God-given gifts and we use them in secular jobs, but we don't use them in God's kingdom. Ask yourself, why would I use a great gift that God has given me to serve man and not serve God? You ever thought about that? All these gifts, all these talents that we have, you will go in and clock in at somebody's job that you hate and give them all you got. When you're sick, when you don't feel good, when all things are going bad, you're going to crawl to work so you can clock in to serve a company that can't get you into heaven and can't save your soul. The time, the energy and dedication we give to so-called the man. I want you to think about that. Most people you talk to hate their job, but they go anyway. They're going to serve the man. They're going to make sure that they go into a job that they hate and give it all that they got. And when they have been beat down, when they have been worked to death, when their heart is bad, when they're stressed out, their blood pressure up, their hair is falling out, they're going to wake up and they're going to do it again. And I can't seem to find men who are knocking down their door and saying, man, I'm willing to serve as a deacon. Where are the men who need to stand up, who are qualified or who are willing, who desire to serve in this capacity? Will the real men of God please stand up? We give all that time and energy to a secular job that will never benefit us or prepare us for heaven. Not at all. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much you love your job, how much you hate it, and you make money. It will never prepare you for heaven. Never. There are individuals who will come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. Man, I can't serve because, you know, I got too much going on. I can't do this. But qualified. Or I just don't know if I'm a baby handler. I got this going on. Oh, matter of fact, you know, the pandemic is out, so I don't know. But you go everywhere else. You go everywhere else. And not only do you go everywhere else, you go everywhere else without a mask, but you got a problem with gathering together and serving for the cause of Christ. I was talking to my brother, and he said to me, do you think you really want to stand before God and say the reason why I wasn't as a faithful servant as I wanted to be because of Omicron? Do you really want to be that person that stands before God and says, well, the reason why I didn't come, Lord, because I just had too much on my plate. The reason why I didn't serve in that capacity. The reason why I wasn't as faithful as I was, because I was afraid to die. You're going to do that anyway. I'd rather die serving the Lord than die serving man any day. Paul makes it very clear over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 that everybody is a servant. And those who serve the Lord by obeying his word are led to righteousness. Those who serve sometimes are living in sin, and that pathway leads to death. Over in Romans 6, 16, it says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one whom you obey? I need you to get up and come on and clock in, but I'm off today. I need you to come on in because I need you, because I ain't got nobody else. Come on. I'm on the way. Hey, man, I'm feeling sick. I'm sorry. You ain't got no more sick days. You need to come on into work or lose your job. I'm not feeling well. I got a headache. And I ain't gonna be able to come. You either come or lose your job and you go. But when we say we need men to step up and be men and serve in this capacity, you gonna say, well, I don't feel well. I'm not gonna tell you you gonna lose your job, but you best be recognizing that you might lose your soul. Instead of fearing the man and all the things that are going on in your world, you need to be fearing the one who can make and break you. You need to be fearing the one who can give and take. The one who can condemn and save. So I'm talking to my men this morning. That we need to step up and be men and serve in a capacity in which we are continually to do what God has commanded us to do and function as a body of Christ should. And let me tell you something. If I'm stepping on your toes, I mean to. I want you to go home and I want you to say, he was talking to me. I sure was, if it applies. It is time out for all of this foolishness, all of the excuses, all of the things that we keep putting and throwing before God. They're not for me. You're not making excuses to me. You're not making excuses to Michael or Keith. You are making them to God. And it's just time out for it. It's time for us as men to step up and be leaders. And again, everybody can serve in a capacity. But today, I'm talking about men stepping up and serving with a mind to work as deacons. If you qualify, why not? I'm going to tell you something. You know, a lot of people probably didn't show up today because they thought it was going to snow or because the weather was bad. Let me ask you this question. If I told you that Christ was going to be here today, would you tell me I ain't going to make it because of Omicron? I'm not going to make it because of the Delta variant. It's cool. Jesus is going to be there, but I'm not coming because of that. Would you say that? Well, guess what? He's here today. He's here right now. And he's looking down and he's seeing those who care more about their souls than the physical aspects of life. Next week, we'll be discussing the biblical qualifications of deacons. And I hope that we will go away this morning thinking about how we can get involved and serve in this body. If you qualify, you need to get to it. If you qualify, why not? Why not? If I told you qualify for $100,000, you do everything you need to make sure you get that $100,000. And that's a fact. Well, what I got to do to get qualified? I heard they giving away $100,000. What I need to do? You got it. What did you do? You ought to be asking those men who are deacons, what did you do? What was your mindset? What is it like Tell me more about this. Tell me how it is for you. And I guarantee you, they'll tell you, yeah, it's some work involved. And y'all act like the men who serve as deacons don't have a life. Like they don't have wives, they don't have kids, they don't have jobs, they don't have ups and downs, deaths in the family. They gotta travel, they sick, they up, they're down, but they're willing to serve no matter what. God is looking for a few good men here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. God has given us so much, and in return, he asked for so little. Think about the scope of what he's done, and think about what he's asking you to do. They don't even come close. All I'm simply saying is if you see a need, get involved. Get involved. Get involved. There is much, much work to do. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, let me first say that you need to get into Christ. And once you get into Christ, now you can serve at a capacity that is pleasing unto him. But you first got to put him on in baptism. Be buried in water, becoming a new creature with a new mindset, with a new attitude, with a new focus. And that is to serve him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And if you are here and you're not a Christian, if you're here and you are a Christian, and maybe you've been struggling in this area and your acts of service to the Lord, maybe you have had a lackadaisical attitude and no zeal and no desire to serve in any capacity, you can change that today. And you can do so by being openly and honest with yourself and with God about where you are and where you want to be in the future when it comes to serving in his kingdom. If this applies to you this morning, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Come now as together we stand and we sing.